Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from an acacia grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go and view the land, especially Jericho." So they have not yet crossed over the Jordan River, and he sends two guys across the Jordan River, and he sends them to spy out Jericho, which would be their first great battle, right? The Battle of Jericho. So they went, these two spies went, and they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab. Now, some believe that that word harlot translates innkeeper, and some believe that it might actually be both. But at any rate, she's always known as Rahab the harlot, right? Which is a prostitute. And these guys went into that house, because this is probably a place where you wouldn't be proud to go, right? And you could kind of hide out, ostensibly. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. And there's something I see correlations in Psalm 119 says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." There's something about taking God's word and hiding it inside of you. She took these men. She was among, it's kind of a, you know, an ugly occupation. But yet she took these holy men and she hid them. "Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." "Thy word I've hidden in my heart." She hides these guys. It's really important. So she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. You know, that's the cool thing about Christians. Like, we're everywhere. We're hidden within the stalks of flax. You know, sometimes you think that this may be a Christianless culture or a Christianless society, but I have to tell you, we're hidden within the stalks of flax among the people, among the people of our culture. Never, ever think. It's like Elijah went and said, "Oh God, I'm alone left. A servant of yours." God said, "No, I have, what's that, 7,000? 7,000 just like you." No, you're not alone. See, the kingdom of God, we're not alone. We're not so small. So anyway, then the men pursued them by the road. So they believed Rahab, and the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." You gotta know that people are afraid of God. You gotta know that your friends and neighbors and the people who don't want to talk to you about Jesus have fear on them, because they can't know that what we believe is not true. Because now listen, This is why they were afraid. We heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and you came out of Egypt, and what you did for the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. That's why the Bible says the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because the word of our testimony brings the fear of God on people. Blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It was the testimony of the Christians that scared everyone in Jericho. It's the testimony of the Israelites, not Christians, right? And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Don't you know that's the Holy Ghost? When God gets on somebody and their heart melts for fear? I love that. This is Rahab still talking. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. Spare my father, my mother, my brothers, sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. In the New Testament, you see the jailer in Paul and Silas. It says the jailer is saved and his whole household. Cornelius is saved and his whole household. Listen, God cares about your family. God cares about your family. You got to do the work. God cares about your family. Don't give up on your family. Keep being a pain in the neck. So the men answered, our lives for yours. None of you tells this business, none of you, your people from your household tell this business of ours. It shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, go to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go. It's interesting, there are some people who we call them on the fence. She was on the wall. As a person that's not really sure, not really secure. But you know what? She had the fear of God on her. She had the fear of God on her. She knew she wasn't living right, but she had the fear of God on her. So she was on the fence. I love that. You go there 3 days, all of that is Jesus stuff, right? Verse 17, so the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this scarlet cord in the window. What's a scarlet cord? They call it the scarlet cord of redemption. It represents the blood of Jesus. Folks, represents the blood of Jesus. The scarlet cord is the blood of Jesus. Hang it in your window. Scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down, and unless you bring your father, mother, and brothers, and all your father's household into your home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood is on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. So you who are saved, you bring people close to Jesus. Maybe people, the Bible says that the unsanctified husband can be sanctified by the godly wife. The New Testament says that, right? And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from the oath which you made us swear. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. The scarlet cord. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. And then she said, according to your words, be it so. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. Interesting, right? They departed and went to the mountain, stayed there 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and crossed over. And they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and he told him that what had befallen them. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has delivered all the lands into our hands, for indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. If you're a Christian, you scare people. If you're genuinely a Christian, you scare people. People are scared. Just because there's something they can't depict it, but if you're walking and living in Christ, it scares people. Not everybody, not all the time, but So spying out the land is really the part that requires silence. You have to be an observer of culture. You have to know what's going on in our land. You have to look at the downward spiral of the morality of our culture. You really have to think about that. And you have to think about the promises of God in the midst of this culture. Because God just doesn't want us for and no more. God wants people saved. And that takes consideration of the sin habits, of the increasing darkness that exists in our world today. God is up to something, I'm telling you. God is up to something. Do not think that God is trembling in the heavens because things are so rough and things are so bad. Do not be afraid of what they represent or what the world today represents. Because God has never, ever stopped being God. And he will have the final victory. He will have the final victory. Are you going to be in the household or not? You coming into the household or not? You staying in the household or not? That was a rhetorical question. Spy out the land always with Jesus' agenda in your heart. God so loved the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you with me? You consider God's word. Your faith grows strong in you. Your faith begins to grow strong when you see that people really are avoiding the Christian message, intentionally avoiding the Christian message because they're afraid. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And sometimes churches can be a haven for the fearful. Sometimes the fearful crowd into churches because they are afraid. But listen, as you grow in the things of God, you begin to the word begins to mature inside of you, you lose that fear. And even if you came in because of fear, because you wanted to be in a safe place with nice people, I don't blame you, I'd want to be here too. But as you mature, the fear departs. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, so some stuff happens between where I'm going to pick it up again. They finally make it across the Jordan River, and some stuff happens. Now they're getting ready, and Joshua is silently walking around Jericho, scoping out the land, trying to come up with a battle plan, a strategy for how we're going to take this wall. I told you that it is said that the walls of Jericho, they used to hold chariot races on those walls. They were so wide and so large. It was like an incredible fortified city. And that's what we think of the sinful out there. We think of the sinful out there as people who have high walls and fortified city. But you see, God is going to do this. Joshua's not going to do it. So Joshua was by Jericho considering his mission, silently observing. You've got to quiet down. Quiet your inner mind. Ask the Lord what he's asking of you. Looking, sizing up his task, not sure how to take this great city. I'm reading a book called Loon Shots, like Loony Person. And it talks about how these great inventions have happened by people who in their own day were considered to be loony. And all the boardrooms rejected their idea. And some of the greatest inventions in human history have happened by people who, when they came up with their ideas in the first place, they thought they were loony. See, God wants to talk to you. And the idea he gives you may sound like a loon shot. And so you're afraid to move out on it because it sounds like a loon shot. You're not following somebody else's plan. You're looking for God Almighty to give you his pattern or his scheme for your success. Are you with me? Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. It's one of my favorite scriptures. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite with him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Joshua knew he was in control. He was the commander of the entire nation of Israel. "Let me know," his sword is drawn, this man is ready for war. "Let me know if you're for us, because if you're for us, get behind me. But if you're for our adversaries, I'm drawing my sword too, because you're coming down." But he didn't know who he was dealing with. The man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No! I'm not for you and I'm not for your adversaries. I'm not for you and I'm not for your adversaries. But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. You know why? The Bible would call it a theophany or a Christophany. It was a human image of Jesus prior to Jesus being born. It was Jesus himself, the commander of the armies of the Lord, with his sword drawn. And he said, "No, I am not for you. I am not for your adversaries. But as the commander of the armies of the Lord, I have come." And Joshua does what ought to be done when you're confronted with God with a sword in his hand. Fall on your face and beg. Cry. Probably more, right? He said, "No. Do you like it that God takes the agenda? God takes the agenda. He doesn't even bother to answer the question. Well, I'm sort of like in the middle. I don't know. I'm not really for you. How do I explain this?" He said, "No, I own the agenda. I am the agenda." Joshua fell on his face and worshiped and said, "What does my Lord say to his servant? Come on, come on." Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandal, off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Isn't it amazing? Last thing Jesus did before he went away was what? Wash his disciples' feet. This commander of the armies of the Lord washed their feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news and bring good tidings, the Bible says. I got beautiful dogs. Listen, the whole point is we have to follow God's agenda. It's not your agenda. It's not my agenda. It's his agenda. Has he called us here? Has he established this as a mission post of his grace and glory? Absolutely. Now we're going to move ahead several chapters again to Joshua 6. Now Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise, nor shall the word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." 6 days they walk around silently, except for the priest's trumpets blowing. That's representative of you silently mulling on God's word. Listen, you can read. You can read, and if you can't read, they have it on tape. Silently mulling God's word over and over and over. And on the seventh day, they circled the city 7 times with the trumpets blowing, The trumpet blowing is Jesus' words in your ear, in your heart. Thinking of God, probing. All they're hearing is the trumpet sound, the trumpet sound, the trumpet sound, as they're walking each day, not saying a word. And on the seventh day, they rose early, and at dawning of the day, they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. But on that day, they marched around the city seven times, and on the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of the Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Joshua said, don't take any credit for yourself of what God is about to do. Don't become wealthy at something God is going to do. God is going to do it. You don't become Mr. Ego, you know, Mr. Hotshot, Mr. Success, and take what God has done and bring it into your own heart. You stay humble and give all the glory to God. So, silence. What happens when you're silent and you dwell on the Word of God? You receive the blessing of wisdom and understanding. The Word of God is a drilling rig, and it wants to drill deeply into your heart. You cannot get it unless you are willing to dwell, dig deeply. The scriptures bid us to seek for wisdom and understanding. Call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for what? Understanding. Seek understanding like silver. Search for it as hidden treasures. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Comes knowledge and understanding. He who stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield for those who walk in integrity. The drill's got to drill, and it takes silence. It takes prayer. You got to do it. You got to do it. There's no other way. You can't get it in a church service. I'm sorry, you got to get it on your own. You got to let the Lord dig. You got to let the Derek. Remember the old John Wayne movie, the drilling for oil, right? Not finding oil. Boy, finally they hit the gusher. When you hit the gusher, you'll know. Understanding is protection and power, but it is far more than that. It's a magnifier and measure of our relationships. Jesus explained to the Samaritan woman that true religion must be characterized by truth. Jesus said to her, "The hour is coming and is now here where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." God is spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. To seek understanding is to seek God. To seek God is to seek understanding. You should write that down on the back of your hand and read it 47 times a day. To seek understanding is to seek God. To seek God is to seek understanding. The prophet Daniel was a man who sought God's truth through the word of God, the scriptures. He needed to know when the Lord would bring the children of Israel home from Babylon. So he consulted the writings of Jeremiah. Where did he go? He went to the scripture. And it says in Jeremiah, in the first year of King Darius's reign, I, this is Daniel, perceived in the books the number of years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. He figured out the future from consulting God's word. As he prayed and sought for understanding, the archangel Gabriel came to him with an incredible revelation. He said, "Oh, Daniel, I have come to give you insight and understanding." Why? Because that's what he was seeking, insight and understanding. "I've come to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for a mercy for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly loved. For you are greatly loved. Everything in God starts from your confidence in how much he loves you. I don't care what you've done, where you've been, what you've accused yourself of, what other people have accused you of, your I don't know, Eeyore attitude, inner voice of Eeyore inside of you. God loves you unconditionally. You are greatly loved. You are greatly loved. God wants to do everything in the book and more for you. He wants loon shots. As he prayed, sought for understanding, the archangel came to him. I have come to give you insight and understanding. I've come to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, for word went out, that I have come to tell you, you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Daniel sought understanding. It pleased God that he was seeking understanding, and God granted it. And he, Gabriel, said to me, O Daniel, second time, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. God honors us as we seek out his truth, and there is good reason for this. Understanding should partner with our lives in every way. Understanding is such a determinative aspect of our lives that it is directly related to righteousness. Daniel 12:10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. So there's a direct correlation with wickedness and your inability to understand. Focus forward. Begins with silence. Hear from God. Read his word. Hear the trumpets. Don't talk first. Listen. Listen for him. Probe for him. Seek for him. What you need to pray for, you pray for. But there is an importance. There is a premium on silence.
Hey guys, this is Jake Johnson coming to you from our On Fire radio studio. We pray this message has encouraged you. And maybe you're listening today and would say, Jake, I want to join this cause. How do I start? Well, I'll tell you, because of our sins, there's no way that we can make it to heaven on our own. But God did send Jesus, his son, to die for our sins. And Jesus said that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So pray with me today and begin a new life with God. Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I believe you lived a perfect life and died on a cross as a sacrifice for my sins. I repent from my sins today, and I place my life in your hands. I give you all that I have, and I ask that you would cleanse me with your blood and fill me now with the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward today into a new life with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible. Download a free app on your phone. It's called YouVersion, the Bible app. You can start a Bible plan and start reading the Word of God. Start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I want to take this time to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We're at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday at 10 a.m. and we would love for you to join us. Come find us and let us know that you've been listening to On Fire Radio. We would love to meet you. I'd also like to give you an opportunity in partnering with us. And if this word has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? On Fire Radio is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can give online, and you can also find out more about CMCC and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.